world of dog sports has lots of options to keep your dog's four paws busy. Let's dive deeper in Four Paws Sports. Now, here are your hosts, Jeff Nieder and Mary Drexler.
Hey, good evening, morning, afternoon, whenever you're listening to us ramble on about dog sports here. My name is Jeff, and along with me as always, my co-host and partner in crime, hoping not bad crime, but crime in general, Mary.
Hey, everybody. Yeah, I hope it's not too bad since we're like posting this on the interweb nets, you know?
Hey, I'm not admitting to anything here. Not yet. Not yet. Hopefully nothing. Nothing too bad, at least.
Right. Do not follow us for crime committing tips. Yeah.
No, because I still kind of want to keep the podcast going for a little while longer here. Right. I mean, nobody's sponsoring us, so, you know, whatever. It's all good here. How's it going? It's been a long time since we've done this. I know we tried once before, failed miserably, and now we're trying this again here.
Yes, we're trying again because, you know, life. It's been, yeah. And as like the segue into today, there's been a lot of change in life and some things, new beginnings for both of us, but different
indeed.
Kinds.
Indeed.
Different
yes,
kinds.
Yes, indeed. Both fun, both not dramatic. Well, yours is more dramatic than mine. Mine just involves adding just one more set of four legs to the household. Yours involves taking lots of four legs across the country here. So let's start with you.
Okay, yeah. Because yours is more, I mean, I don't know. Like if you gave me the option between your new thing and my new thing, I'm not sure which one I take. Hey, don't mind me. My dogs are happy to play the podcast tonight. And I've got one dog being good and four dogs apparently decided to suddenly have a party. Anyway, so I packed up my four dogs and four cats and a skink and a U-Haul trailer and drove 1200 miles to Utah from Iowa. And I now live in Utah. So that was an adventure just getting there. I'm happy to report that my skink likes me better now than he did before, that rescuing him from his travel bag apparently raised me up a couple notches in his eyes. Or maybe it's because Natalie isn't around every day, so he figures I'm the best shot he's got. I don't know which. But anyway, he likes me better than he did. My cats... one of my cats spent like the first week he lived here hiding in amongst my article bags on a shelf downstairs, but now they're all settled in and that's good. The dogs. Well, my dogs are so used to going places and they've been out here enough that they kind of went, all right, cool. We're here now. And I mean, I suspect they wonder what happened to the border collie and the Shelties. And I suspect they wonder, I don't know, what happened to Nat and Nick and everybody, but why we haven't gone to the Quad City Dog Center in a while. I'm sure they're wondering about that. I don't know. Like, you know, they're good eggs. Like they're such good travelers. Like it took a lot longer to do this drive than it normally would because I was pulling a fully loaded U-Haul trailer behind my van and you can't pull those things very fast. They're not designed for that.
Well, so, and not just a van, but your brand new used van.
Yes, my brand new to me van, which I'm really excited about. Speaking of new beginnings, so I got myself a 2019 Dodge ProMaster, and I have since my boyfriend very thoughtfully built me a bed in the back, so I can actually camp out of this thing, and it's awesome. And so that's been a new thing. Like I've van camped before, and I am sort of the master of van Tetris. For those of you who don't know. And I, last year, more than once, camped in a Toyota Sienna with five Samoyeds and still had room to sleep in the van. Not a lot of room, but room. And so this allows me to actually take dogs and sleep in the van and breathe also. So that's fun. Yeah, so that was like learning the van and learning and pulling the trailer. Like I say, U-Haul, I'm pretty sure intentionally does not make those things. When they say you don't really want to go more than 55, they're not really kidding. So what's normally like a 17 and a half hour drive was a lot longer than that. We won't count. I don't, it was a long time. I left like, I don't know, late morning, midday on a Monday and arrived on a Tuesday later afternoon, early evening. I did stop and sleep, so there was that. But and so, yeah, it's like a whole new, you know, you get so much of my life has been in Iowa. Like, I lived in Arizona for a couple of years, but otherwise I'm 45, and 43 of my 45 years I've lived in Iowa, in somewhere in Iowa. So to live, to pack up and move that far, and like so much of my life is revolved around the dog community in Iowa. Like, I have students, and then I have friends that I get together and train with, and I have, you know, dog shows. I have agility trials and obedience trials and confirmation shows and those people. And so you come out here and it's like, oh, and I will admit some serious FOMO. Like, shortly after I moved, we had my club's spring obedience trial, which has the best pie. By the way, if you're an obedience competitor, listen to this podcast, you go to the ICDOC April obedience trials because there's the best pie and you eat nothing but pie. I mean, her other food is good too, but you eat Janet's pies. That's why you go to the trial. And if you like also want to do obedience or rally, that's great, but eat pie. So that happened like 2 weeks after I left. So that was a hard weekend. Then the week after was the Upper Iowa Training Club trials, which I love those people and I love those trials. And so again, I'm sitting here going, I'm not doing these trials. And then my, like, there was, I don't know, it's like, there was a retirement party for my dad and I had to miss that. And so like, there's that whole, you know, FOMO going on. Meanwhile, I went to my first trial out here as a resident of Utah, and it was great. Like, I met some really wonderful people, saw some really nice dogs, had some nice success happen. That doesn't hurt anything. But more importantly, like, you start to make the new connections, but it's bittersweet, you know, like, you're out there and you're, you know, it's great to meet some new people, but still, like, you know, so much of my life and my social life too is like centered around my dogs and the people I know because of my dogs. And, you know, when that's not, when you're watching on Facebook and you're talking to people on Messenger, you're giving someone a call and it's just, you know, you're not there to see them have a big win or whatever. Or you're not there to commiserate when things just blow up in your face or whatever. It's hard. Like, that's, I didn't expect that part to be easy, but I will say that that's been probably one of the hardest things, is to watch this stuff happening and be like, oh, but I should be there and I'm not. So
the blessings and curses of social media.
Right. Yeah. Like, I love it. I love how easy it is, especially for someone like me, who's horrible at writing letters and things like that and making phone calls, to be able to keep up quickly.
But wait. What's this thing you say, letters? I don't know what this is.
Well, I don't know. That's because you're just a young pup, right? Like, there's, you know, that the post office will deliver something other than bills.
Wow.
If somebody writes you a letter or a card and puts it in the mail, it will eventually get to you. And then you open your mailbox and it's not instantly depressing. So
in 5 to 10 business weeks.
In 5 to 10 business weeks. Exactly. Yeah, in fact, I just had to resend out a class to somebody who I had shipped a class to her, and she's like, shouldn't this have been here by now? And yeah.
Yeah, I know. I've had a couple entries that literally were almost 3 weeks after I entered or sent it out to North Carolina, and I'm like, did you get it yet? She goes, no, not yet. And like 2-3 weeks after I emailed her, she goes, hey, guess what showed up? I'm going, I could have driven it there sooner.
Exactly. Well, and doesn't it make you nervous? Like, I know, segue, not new beginning. It would be a great new beginning of agility, would be like a universal online entry. I know there's secretaries that do it.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, man. Obedience and agility, because basically for most obedience trials, you, if they're not part of a big super, like an Onofrio or an MBF or something, you have to mail your entries in still. And then agility. And it's like, oh, that's one thing I will say for showing confirmation is I can't remember the last time I did a confirmation show that I couldn't enter online. So at least you know instantly.
Right. Well, the problem is for this trial for me is it was a UKI trial, and normally these are all online, but this one was a classic, and stupid me for you know, expecting everything else to be online, and this one was paper entry only. I'm going, oh, I kind of waited till now to put this in the mail.
Oopsies.
My bad for false expectations. Oh, well.
Right. Well, and I'm still a little pissy because I've actually twice had entries get totally lost. Like, I had my first national specialty I was going to go to was when I had a Malamute. It was in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin. And bonus points because Oconomowoc is one of the most fun town names to say, Oconomowoc. And it did not arrive at this. Of course, this is back in the golden ages before you did anything online. You did much online. So I mailed off my entry to Jack Onofrio, and Jack Onofrio did not get it until like a week after closing. I mean, it wasn't even close. And I was going, oh man, whatever. And then Natalie missed out on junior nationals 1 year because I still don't know. Like, we mailed that right away and Steve didn't get it till like a week after closing. I mean, it bounced around for like 2 months or something. It was ridiculous, but you know, so
I think that's just the post office way of saying, hey, you spend the more money and we'll guarantee it gets there. I mean, I think it's a conspiracy to make you spend more money.
Well, you know, I think it's become a conspiracy to enter online every time I possibly
yeah. Yeah, I know. I've been guilty of starting to go, you know what? I'm not doing paper entries anymore. I'm literally just doing it online. Even if it's like a 3% increase on the cost, I'm like, you know what? It's that cost for peace of mind that I know I made my entry in.
Exactly. And just the, you know, that instant, like say, you just don't know for sure. And it's $3 to do it online. Or if you're going to overnight a letter and make sure you've got confirmation, then it's like $20 or something. Well, that $3 starts looking pretty good. So.
Right. Yeah. Let's do that. Or put your entries in the hands of the post office, which isn't exactly what I call reliable anymore.
Right. Although I will say that. And then I mailed off entries for the August Tic Tac Rally Trial and got them from Utah to Luther, Iowa in like, I don't know, a couple days. I got the confirmation that they was in. So, that you could do really quickly. But I mean, my dad had mail that was mailed from Clarence to Stanwood. And any listeners who know where both Clarence and Stanwood, Iowa are, you get 50 bonus points for whatever game we're not playing. And it took it 2 weeks. It's a 5 mile. It's a 5 mile track. Like, you could crawl on your hands and knees, deliver it and crawl back in less time than it took that letter to get there. But, you know, so new beginnings, all entries available online. Or I did an entry over the phone for a show in Colorado not too long ago. It was really interesting. Like, it was the Onofrio or somebody was the super for the whole thing. But then there was a Rocky Mountain Caisson Club that did an obedience trial along with, like, it wasn't the big Intermountain Kennel Club or Flatiron or whatever it was. And so they had a separate secretary and they had an entry service. You could actually call in and give them your dog's number and they'd look you up. And then you'd say what classes you wanted. And yeah, it was actually probably the slickest entry I've ever done. It was really easy. I didn't even have to type.
Well, when you said, it just made me think about this, but when you said about a game that we're not even playing, just reminded me of just the show Whose Line Is It Anyway, where everything's made up and the points don't matter.
And welcome to Full House Stories, where everything's made up and the points don't matter. Except we're not making this up. This is right. Real.
It is real, but the points just don't count.
Yeah, they really don't.
Well, speaking of Iowa, I mean, I specifically came up there to judge, and you weren't there. You decided to depart and head west and wouldn't let me judge you. I'm disappointed. I made courses specifically for you. No Mary.
Yeah.
No Mary.
No, I feel like in reality you waited until you knew I was going to be gone. Because the last time you came to Iowa and judged, we sang to you. And you didn't want that to happen again.
That's true. Hey, you know what? Nobody had the 90% failure rate like that one course that I made that I will never talk about ever again. Which may not be the case. Well, anyway. So since we had our brief interruption here, let's see, talking about how terrible my courses were back in Iowa way back in the day when you made a long, long song for me to listen to right before I went back to judging the next day.
Hey, man, have you ever been serenaded? by a whole group of people who took the time to write a song for you.
I think there have been some spites.
Actually, it just got funny. I mean, because I will say that, Dave, so for those of you that weren't there and didn't know, Jeff put out, and they were perfectly fine courses. Like, I guess the thing that gets me is I feel like 9 times out of 10, my dogs would have gone on those courses just fine. And I was running a golden retriever at the time who would find any tunnel in the county and go running for it. So I knew I was in trouble with her. But I was quite confident that my other two dogs would go where pointed. They did not. They also took random off-course tunnels. So we made Jeff a delightful song of 50 ways to take that tunnel. And it was wonderful. And we sang to him. But I firmly believe that the reason he did not come back to Iowa to judge again until after I moved away was because of that song.
So I'm just saying, I'm not just coming back. I just came back twice. I'll be coming back twice this year because I got once in the spring and then I got back to QCDC in the fall. So, you know, that's twice and you ain't going to be here. So I ran you off.
I think you might have. I just think you were waiting. I think you're avoiding me. I think you're waiting.
Yeah, that's true. I actually am waiting. I specifically asked, what's his face? Bill. I asked Bill to go, wait till Mary's gone, then bring me back. And it's fine at that point.
Yeah. Yeah, I see how it is.
But, you know, I think as a judge, I am obligated to make one of those courses per year that just traps everybody. I really think I am because it does happen. It seems like once a year I have one course. I'm like, this is great. This will be fun. Long story short, it was not fun and it was not fast. It was terrible.
Well, it was a fast, like as far as the NQ rate goes, it was fast. Like it was a really quick way.
I still remember I had one trial out in Maryland and it was a Sheltie Club trial. And I had this gorgeous, gorgeous course and I ended up with like maybe a 5% Q rate. I killed the master's class. It was...
Ouch.
It was atrocious. My hands hurt. My arms hurt. Everything hurt that day. My soul hurt. I mean, yeah, that burned that course at that point. Yeah. So once a year, I'm obligated to make one of those bad courses so everybody realizes I'm still a human judge. I still make errors.
Right. Well, you know, I feel like as long as we're doing new beginnings, maybe this can be Jeff's new beginning of not making a course that makes everybody want to sing to him.
Sing to me, cuss at me, cuss me out, you know, whatever floats your boat. It's all good. I take it in stride.
It was a good sport
for that song, though.
You know, I mean, it really was funny. Like, I will say, at first you're like, oh, darn, I'm not passing. And then it just got funny. I mean, you know, you're still out there. And you paid your money, or somebody else, in the case of the Golden, had paid money. And you got to... do well, right? Like, you don't put in your entry fees in the hopes that you will crash and burn. But the nice thing about agility is you can have a good time even if you don't bring home a ribbon. At least I can have a good time if I don't bring home a ribbon. And it got to the point that it was just sort of like, okay, I wonder how this team is going to screw this up. Like, I mean, and dogs that... My daughter never goes anywhere she's not supposed to. She might forget and run around something, but she's not going to go off. She took a wrong tunnel. I mean, Hex is pretty honest. She just blew me off. Like, usually I'm the reason my dogs fail. And I don't even feel like that day I was. I feel like it was just one of those dogs went, you know what? We're just going to do this thing. And just whatever. Wave your arms. Say whatever you want to. Run wherever you want to. It's fine. We're just going to do our thing. And it's like the whole place got together and decided that. I mean... I'm not saying there weren't handling choices made that sometimes made it worse, but it was almost like if you stuck to your original plan, you were screwed. If you decided to go, everybody's having this problem, I'll do something different. Well, that doesn't matter either. Like, you're just, it was rough. It was a rough day.
Yeah. It didn't matter. It was going downtown regardless. It was all bad. All bad that day.
It was just, but you know, it's one of the beauties of dog showing, right? Like, you do it and you're just like, I mean, I've had a lot of days where I've come home with double Qs and stuff, but I will remember this day way longer than, you know, other than maybe a mock run. I mean, seriously, like,
yeah,
you know, it was fun. I mean, it was, And I had that one other time. We had a show. This is years ago. I was just, I don't think I could drink yet legally. And I, there's a whole group of us went down to Quincy, Illinois to show obedience, and we all failed. I mean, all of us. There's a whole herd of us. So we took a picture. We got the photographer. We got all of our dogs. We got all of us. We took a picture of the flunkies. It was great. Didn't pass a darn thing all weekend. It was fun. So, you know, like sometimes those memories, they're better than, you know, not that I wouldn't complain if I happen to be like one of the, what, three people that survived that course or something. But, you know, this was fun.
Right. So I just want to know, when you took that picture, were you drinking at that point?
No. Because I young, underage, and I was a well-behaved child. I was a well-behaved child.
Well, see, I was hoping, just like at the beginning of the episode, we're like, how to not commit crimes here. And I thought you were going to admit to drinking underage, because none of us have ever drank underage, ever,
ever. Never. Nobody would ever do that. Never happened.
No, never.
That's very uncommon, drinking underage. Especially in Utah. Nobody ever drinks out here. Actually, No, they just have to work really hard to get alcohol. I'm just going to say,
don't live in Utah.
If you are used to living in, so I moved from Mount Vernon, Iowa, where I lived for 17 years before. And Mount Vernon is a lovely little town. You should visit if you get the chance. It's a college town. It's quaint. It's like 4,000 people. It's pretty. Got as many trees as there used to be. Thanks to derecho, but still, it's a pretty town. But they had this great grocery store called Gary's. You can get anything at Gary's. It's awesome. And Gary's has, I mean, it's a college town, remember, spectacular liquor aisle, okay? Like, truly, not what you'd expect in a small town grocery store. And you can buy basically whatever you want.
Right.
And I've moved to Utah, all right? And in Utah, you can go to a brewery and get something, but they can't have anything on tap that is over 5% ABV. So you have to get it in a bottle or a can. You can buy some alcohol in the grocery store, but again, can't be over 5% ABV. So you have to go to the state-run liquor store, which makes you feel a little bit like you're going to prison and getting ready to visit somebody. Like, it's a very cold place, the state-run liquor store is. And you pay significantly more for things, and you still don't have the selection that to which I am accustomed for some things. And so it's a bit, and you know, you got a plan. Like, you're not going to go on Sunday and be like, oh, there's a football game on this afternoon, I need to get some beer. No, kids, we're in Mormon land. You don't buy alcohol on Sundays. That's not happening.
You should have thought about that last night.
Yes, you need to plan. So, like, I'm just going to tell you, if you're coming to Utah and you want to drink, especially drink heavily or not, doesn't matter. You need to pre-plan your alcoholism appropriately. So,
the advice this show has turned into.
New beginnings, how to be an alcoholic in Utah. Like,
yes, how to drown your sorrows at a dog show in Utah. Plan accordingly.
I'm just going to say that, speaking of new beginnings, I am a really strong proponent that the AKC should start having mimosa bars at dog shows. And I mean, it doesn't have to be AKC specific.
As a judge.
Right. And I feel like if my judge had enough mimosas, that it would be really great when I get out of the course. But I mean, let's think about it. This doesn't have to be AKC.
I would be doing really good.
You know, like, be like, oh, there's three dogs running that course. Which one hit the contact? You know, like, it's fine. I mean,
yeah, it's fine. It makes that 36 go to 42 inches on the dog walk.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, like, this is a new beginning that I feel like we could all get behind. I mean, really.
Can you imagine that at nationals, all the judges trashed while they're trying to judge? That's going to make a really interesting headline.
Yeah, what kind of drinking games could you make up? Like, you have to drink every time somebody misses a contact. You have to drink every time somebody drops a bar. Drinking every time somebody screams at their dog.
My liver can only do so much, and I did enough damage in my early 20s, okay?
Could you imagine?
I'm still in recovery from all the alcohol it's gone through.
And our next new beginnings will be new beginnings with Jeff's new liver after
rehab. Yes. Oh, good Lord. Good Lord. All right. Well, my new beginning here. Yeah. I think mine's a little bit, well, I don't know. I'm going to say that it's easier. I'm just going to say I didn't have to drive quite as far, but she's four-legged, and I, well, yes, because mine's a thing versus a place, so I hope mine's cuter than yours. Unless you're counting Lonnie versus her, then I'm still going to say she's still cuter than
Lonnie. Yeah, I mean, Lonnie, I love you, babe. Not that he listens to the podcast, probably, but it's about dogs, let's be honest.
Wait, what?
But it's about dogs. But let's say, I mean, cuteness factor. Puppies are cuter than people. Especially yes. Adult people are not as cute as puppies.
So. Right. So, spoiler alert, I got a puppy. I got a puppy. She's adorable. She's 9 weeks old, weighs 11 pounds to begin with. Now she weighs like, I don't know, like 16, 17 pounds now. She's growing like a weed. I leave her for one weekend. She goes from midget to semi-adult looking height-wise already. So I'm like, great. I just can't leave you. And so went down to pick her up off the farm right after Mother's Day. Actually, the Monday after Mother's Day, and brought her home. And now I'm dealing with some sleepless nights. She's gotten a whole lot better, but she is smart as a whip, and she eats like a horse.
Right. Well, that's what puppies are supposed to do, right?
Like, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it's good. I'm glad she eats because it'd make her life a lot easier, especially working right. for Royal Canin. And I'm glad that she eats the food that I get.
No kidding, right?
Oh, but man, talk about trying to remember the last time I had a puppy. That would have been Pix, which is now we're coming up on at least 4 years ago, 4.5 years since I have had a puppy. And it's just like, have puppy. What do I do with puppy? Right. So, yeah, it's been interesting, especially when you don't have puppies very often. It's like, oh crap. What do I do for training? Right. I don't even remember. What do I do? I'm at the adult stage of dogs and now I get a puppy. So,
right.
It has been awesome to go back to redo everything that I have forgotten to do with my other dogs, things I forgot, things I skipped, just due to either injury and rehab work. And so she is getting the full puppy training treatment. So she's getting to work very slowly through everything, no rushing. It's kind of nice to have a dog that is coming up to his prime, and he is doing so phenomenal. Thankfully, the Kyber, he's doing great, so I get to take my time with her, and it is amazing because I've got the first day I brought her home, she found the big old wobble board from Gallican Equipment and she ate on it and like a champ, not even an issue. And now she uses it as a damn springboard, like it's a trampoline for her. Like she will bounce onto it, onto the couch. Pix better watch out because she is on a rampage, and he's kind of started being her friend, and now that was the biggest mistake he could have made, because now she picks on him and tries to get him to play, and he goes, no, I'm not playing. Okay, wait, you have a toy. I'm going to chase you now. I'm going, Pix, this is how you get her to play with you and keep bugging you, and you keep instigating it with her. So, yeah, so he's got a best friend now. Kyber's like, I don't want anything to do with it except when you pee, though. You smell really interesting. Right. No, you're a girl. I'm going, Kyber.
Just wait for a few more months, and he'll really be like,
bad. Not yet. Oh, my God, yes. Oh, yes. Hey, I'm going to pick out custom panties, and I never thought I'd be saying that out loud. I'm going to pick out custom panties for her.
Things you can say about dogs, and if you say it, I mean, I guess that's one that could be like, you know, there's the ones like things you can only say at a dog show or, you know, stuff like that. But that's something, I mean, I suppose you could be being a good boyfriend or a good doctor right. at that point. Like, either way. Like, ooh, fancy. Or,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. I know. Well, and so I did name her Jade. So she kind of fits in with the Star Wars theme that I do have with Kyber. So Kyber is short for Kyber Crystal. So those who are familiar with Star Wars will get that reference there. And Jade is going to be short for Mara Jade. And again, those who are familiar with Star Wars, if you're not, look it up. It's kind of a fun little canon stuff within the Star Wars universe, but my stuff all revolves around Star Wars for the Border Collie. So that one's actually a hard one because
haven't had a female for so long, I kind of didn't have a whole lot of names to pick from. So, yeah, so that's my new beginning and learning how to retrain all over again. But I'm getting my sleep back at least finally.
That's good. Well, and isn't it fun? Like all the stuff that you're like, why don't you know that? Oh, wait, because I have to teach you. Like, that's the thing that I find. I'll be training a puppy. And like, there's the stuff you're expecting. You know, like, you know, the crate training and all that stuff. But then there'll be things like, you know, why don't you just stay? Right. Or why don't you just come when called? Or why don't you know to, you know, whatever. Like, all kinds of stuff that just the dogs pick up in life. And you're like, why aren't you doing that? Oh, that's crap. That was my job, you know?
Right. Oh, exactly, exactly. But I tell you what, who has been the biggest help in training this dog is Nitro. You know, he's been retired now, so he does some herding still, backyard agility, but now he has stepped into the role of being the leader of the pack to actually train. So we get to go down in the mailbox once or twice a day, and she gets to go on that walk, which turns into about a third of a mile by the time we get back. But that has been the best thing ever, because I'm not using any leashes. I'm just ready to spring into action to run in case she gets a dumb bug up her butt. But she has been amazing on learning how to do recalls without a leash. And I'm really impressed, actually, with her, how fast she's picked it up. And, she, you know, they say border collies are smart. I have to say they're smart, but they can learn the wrong thing just as fast as the right thing, though.
Yes, that is a true story. Like, people are like, oh, smart dog, smart dog. And smart dogs are great to a point. But smart dogs with people who maybe are inexperienced or maybe aren't super attentive trainers, sometimes that's not such a good thing, because boy, I mean, they can they can take you for a ride in a big fat hurry. But when you're experienced and you're like, and you're focused and you're like, yeah, I know what I want, that's when, you know, it's really nice, because then you don't, you know, you feel like you're making progress and you're like, oh, you just feel that mold of clay. Like, you know, you're just shaping this dog. It's like,
oh,
anything you want, man.
It's been amazing watching her grasp things. And this is like the light bulb clicks. And it's like, this is awesome here, because, you know, we've done the most agility we've done so far is introduction to tunnels and wraps around a wing and wraps around a cone and small stuff like that, like coming to hand and, you know, touching the hand. It's small things like that. And the nice part is that I get to take my time. There's no rush with her, and she just picks it up so easily. I'm just waiting for the other shoe to drop when there's that brick wall we hit, and we just can't we cast up stop training for a bit there. But she's already learned how to start walking on the treadmill and just as familiarization, but super calm. So it's been good. I've been really happy with this puppy. So I can't say enough about her breeder, Debbie George. Just phenomenal. Her pickings for pairings for breedings just been just on par. So hopefully, if I get really lucky, she will not grow up to be a large dog. She will grow to stay in the intermediate height, fingers crossed. That will be a nice thing for me to not have to do large. Yeah. I can do intermediate for once.
Well, you know, stop feeding her. That will be the first.
Oh, well, her nails grow like weeds too. Because I didn't do anybody's nails for 2 weeks just because of time constraints. And then when I got to it, I'm going, that's only been 2 weeks. What is this? And I'm just gonna throw this out here. Mary made the best suggestion for nails, and it has helped and saved me a lifetime of nicking the quicks. And it is that diamond plated grinding accessory for the Dremel. Best thing ever. And I got everybody's nails short, and I only slightly nicked a couple quicks that just bled gently and stopped, and everybody has super short nails, and it was quick, easy, and I'm so happy I don't have to clip nails ever again.
See, man, I got your back. Well, and really, like, I started it because I had a dog who had a knack for shoving his foot forward just as I would clip the clippers. And let me tell you, the murder scene that appears to have developed in your living room when your dog does that. And so I was like, there needs to be a better way. And I will say that, you know, Dremel, probably getting a dog used to a Dremel at first is a little more challenging, but man, like, you can get the nails so much shorter. And like, now, not as young as I used to be, and my eyes are not so spectacular as I'd like them to be. And man, I just, with the Dremel, like say, even if you get the quick, you know, as long as you're paying attention to what you're doing, you can be like, oh geez, the dog is like, I'm getting the quick, and you can stop. And it's so minor that right. you just, you know, you a lot of times don't even need the quick step or anything. You can just stop, and that just stops, and you're like, okay, good. And it's just so much easier, and you get those nails so nice. And like it's nail day at my house after we get done recording, like everybody's getting their nails done, and clicking yeah. nails just makes my head want to explode. I mean, I just can't even. And so this way you can get their nails nice and short. And, you know, even though my dogs have fuzzy feet and you can't see when their nails are long, unless they're really, really long, but I don't care. It drives me crazy. Like, it's better for them.
Well, the worst one, Well, and the worst part for me in the house, it's Nitro, because he's older now. He's got those big, their nails are growing thick and they're hard and dense. And some of those nails are just kind of starting kind of curling in. And part of it's my fault for, I guess, not clipping them enough. But I have it goes without fail. Every time I clip his nails, it is always getting the quick. And I think I'm like, I'm nowhere near this thing here. And oh God, I just feel so bad every time I do it. So now it's just like, all right, we're grinding away now. But the only time I really purposely leave their nails long is if I know we're going to go do agility and it's going to be in a turf based environment that has those black pellets. I have seen a difference in performance when they can actually grip with their nails.
Yep.
And I that's about the only time I've ever purposely gone, let it go maybe 2 weeks without doing it. And yeah, it just seems to work fine. And then I just grind them down at that point. But I think that's all strategy at the end of the day. But so I got the chance to take Kyber and Pix to the UKI's brand new event. It was the North American Invitational up in the Chicago area back in March. And I know it's been a while since we've done the podcast. We hadn't talked about it yet. And we got to talk about it because I kid you not, UKI, they put on for kind of a, pretty much for a last minute program that, or event that they put together. It was phenomenally done. There was no delays. The equipment was great. The surface was amazing. We had this big indoor sports complex, four gigantic rings, all state-of-the-art equipment, and they ran that thing military precision, where we started on time. If you're not in the ring on time, that's your problem. That's not their problem. So you learn to go on their schedule. And we were done probably 1 to 2 hours early every single night. And when I'm talking about early, we're talking last run started at 4, when it stayed to start at like 5:30, maybe 6 o'clock, running till, well, probably be 9 o'clock almost at that point. But we were done by 7 o'clock, if not earlier, every night. And I was just like, wow, this is how every big event should run. And just phenomenal. The courses were awesome. They were big, wide open. And those are the kind of events I really love. Now, granted, the results on paper were not the best, but in a future episode, we'll talk about things that need to do to be better. And move on from there, and how to progress and how to improve yourself there at that point. But love the event. I had no complaints whatsoever. It was fun. It was easy. It was a great birthday present for me to just go up there and just enjoy the weekend off there. Okay. Hey, I wasn't at work, so can't beat it.
Right. I'm sorry. Weekend at a dog show is better. Running agility, I mean, that's awesome. And like I said, you can have a good time even if the results aren't paper, aren't what you're hoping for. But you can learn from it. Absolutely. You can, I mean, you had a lot of nice moments, and then you had stuff you're like, okay, I need to work on. And then but you can still have a good time. You don't have to let it, like say, it doesn't ruin your weekend. Just like, I can still enjoy the good stuff. I can enjoy all the positives about this weekend. And then I make my list of things to train. So, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And I had a very long list of things to train. And so that's the big thing that I came away with, going, all right, homework, we got this, and we'll be ready for next year when we go down there. So. Or up there.
Right.
I don't know geography, apparently.
Apparently not. Yeah, I was going to say, isn't it up? But I thought, well, it's new, so, you know, maybe I was missing something, but.
Right. It's new Chicago. It's not new old Chicago. It's new Chicago. So it's south of something. Yeah.
New Chicago apparently is located in Louisiana or something. So who knew?
Yeah, exactly. Well, hey, that couldn't be because one of the first bigger events that wasn't a 12 to 14 hour drive right. one way for me. So you can't miss those things.
Exactly. Exactly. And like I say, it seems like UKI has done a nice job of figuring out how to have these big events and make them work, you know, and make them work well.
Right.
And that's awesome. I mean, that organization is so huge. Like, that says a lot for the people that are behind the scenes of that event, making it happen. So.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Absolutely. There. Well, I think we're going to wrap it up here tonight, and we'll be back at you here coming up soon here. We're trying to get back to being good about this thing, but our new beginnings, we're trying to do this once a month. So right. we'll see how well we hold up on that one there.
Right. You know.
All right.
And just don't follow us for more trips on how to commit a crime, because obviously we have learned.
Right.
Jeff and I are not good at
that. No, we're terrible at those things. But anyway, you have a good night out there, and we will see you out there on the turf. Have a good one.
Night, everybody.